In this episode, we talk about declarative process modeling for process mining with Claudio Di Ciccio. This is Anton Yeshenko and welcome to A Side of Data, a podcast about unconventional side of data science. Claudio Di Ciccio is an assistant professor of Vienna University of Economics and Business. He is interested in process mining, blockchains, and declarative process modeling. And he is known as the creator of Minerful, that is declarative process discovery framework. Good day, Claudio, and welcome on the side of data.
Thank you very much.
How are you doing? How is it going?
Everything great. I mean, we're very happy the last BPM conference is just over. It was hosted here, so yeah, we're now doing some rest, or fake rest actually. It's working all the time, but yeah.
Yeah, fake rest. Sounds like scientists.
Yes, working rest.
Today's episode about declare in process mining. So first, I want to start with what is process mining in the first place for you? Because I already mentioned in the last episode about process mining, it's all about processes and organizations, but what is it for you from your perspective?
Process mining for me is the art of recycling data that usually is completely overlooked to make it useful at some stage. So when we have event logs, which is a name which was quoted from servers back then, they're just lines and lines and lines of scripts, and yeah, they're there, they look without any value. Instead, we can even understand how workflows actually are enacted just with this data. Nice. So yeah, the reason is that, and we turn rough data into gold, so to speak. That's probably why also some companies decided to call themselves that way, with this diamonds, golds, and whatever. Yeah, so basically, it's the art of analyzing workflows, not based on interviews only or by looking at documents, but really checking how the systems enact them.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you mentioned event logs and workflows.
Mm-hmm.
So we record workflows in event logs, or...
Yeah, so the workflow, well, I try to use the nomenclature of a famous book. So a process is a way of conducting activities, whereas the workflow is the automated process, right? So once we start automating, then we have machines recording what we do, and then we have the workflows. That's basically what I assume.
Okay, and recorded information about our workflows is event log, and that's the input for the process mining.
Precisely, yes. Well, it's not the only input. You can also take, I don't know, certain rules you want to check if they comply with, or I don't know, process models, anything. So, but the core, the very core of the information stems from event logs, that's true.
Okay, and now the concept of declare, how does it come into this picture?
Well, declare is a way not to look directly at all the things you should do from the start to the end, but rather imposing certain rules, what we want to do. So let's put it this way. We can either program routines as procedural lines of code, and that's a local view. At every point in time, you have an instruction register telling you exactly what is the current instruction being executed and what's the next thing to be done, right? It's a local perspective. With a declarative approach, instead, it's more like the functional programming. There are rules. So whenever you happen to be in a certain situation that triggers certain rules, you know that certain other things impose certain things to be done or not to be done. Declarative process modeling is more or less like this. I would not call it modeling indeed, but specifications. So we specify what's the behavior of processes, not by telling exactly at every stage what's the next thing to do, but rather saying, do whatever you feel like, but still keep that in mind that these rules must hold true. The cool thing about declarative process specification is that the process has this temporal perspective. So it doesn't just say that every time you see an invoice, there must have been a payment. It can tell that before an invoice is sent, then there must have been a payment raised beforehand. So there is like also time involved in this.
Okay, so maybe a little example of if you look from the perspective of the participant of the process.
Mm-hmm.
like the process you mentioned about invoice, so it will be the order to cash process or something like this.
Yeah.
And then you specify with rules or with the specifications is what should not happen or...
Well, there are certain papers in the literature that say that declare is more about what should not happen, but it's a kind of double negation. So with these rules, you claim that everything that does not comply with the rules must not happen. See the double negation. So, for instance, if we say that every time there is a shipment, there must be an invoice later on, it means that you can do pretty much what you want, but mind that your process is not correctly executed if there was a shipment but no invoice. So this is the sense of what you can't do. In the end, it's all about imposing certain rules. Let's make another example, everyday life. We're driving on a street and we have signals. The signals don't tell us, okay, push now the brake, release the gear, wait for the cars, put the gear again, put your hands on the steering wheel, accelerate and start, right? No, it just says, if there is a car passing from the right-hand side at the crossroads, let it go, right? So it's just a rule, but then how you accomplish to this process is up to you.
Okay, and in this case, actually, you mentioned a car passing by and what you should do. It's not what you shouldn't do.
Exactly, yes. So you can say both things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can also say, I don't know, if you're driving at night, don't honk, right? So this is, well, usually one shouldn't honk any time, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, if to contrast from, I would say, rivalry technology, and that I think came from business process management, that is business models.
Mm-hmm.
I think like what you're trying to beat or you're trying to develop in contrast to that is process models, right? So
well,
how would you compare them?
I like to say that basically this was a perspective that was very chic some years ago, like imperative versus declarative, as if they were opposed to one another.
Mm-hmm.
But in practice, what I see more and more is what I would also quote from, I don't know, software engineering community. So when we specify a certain behavior through rules, say requirements, then we have many programs that satisfy these requirements in different ways, right? So if we have a set of rules declaratively, we can decide on the process model that procedurally comply with them at best. That's why I would say declarative specification, but process model, because it's a model for that specification.
Okay.
Like in logics. So I don't see them as adversaries. I would rather see that they're just two different layers. In one case, we're just telling the rules of the game, and the other case, we are explaining the strategy to win the game. You know, more or less like when we play chess. The game of chess has a given amount of rules, declarative specifications. But then the players, they have their strategies, right? And it's not really filling all the search space. No, it's just strategy. So it's a model, a process model to win the game.
Interesting, I haven't heard this perspective about it.
Thank you.
And let's talk more closely about declare, and also you can give examples of the mindful how it works. Like you have, again, we stop and go back to event logs, and in event logs we have information about like sequences of events that happened in, let's assume, workflow. And what does it mean to discover a declare specification from that? And maybe you can talk very directly on the level of algorithm.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's fun. So let's just start with the prequel. So why mindful at all?
Yes.
Right. So the reason why it was developed, it was back then during a PhD thesis, during which we had to analyze email flows to understand what were the rules of behavior between the participants. So in this case, we didn't have any direct workflow being enacted by an information system, a proper one, like, I don't know, a process-aware information system, sorry. But it was just email. In that case, it didn't make too much sense to try to discover what was the pattern or whatever out of it. We started first to look into the rules that were always holding true in this communication. So that we did. More technically, how does mindful work? It first parses the entire event log. And by this first pass, what it builds is a sort of small table keeping the statistics of co-occurrence of activities. Like it registers so many times it happened that after activity A, we had activity B later on, or immediately afterwards, just, you know, counting. Then basically, it's as if we zip the file, in a very lossy way, of course, into a smaller data structure.
So you have some kind of templates of these rules. You have templates that after A, like after invoice, there should be payment.
Like yes, that's the idea, but it's a bit more abstract. Like, we look for all possible pairs of activities, what comes up after and what doesn't come after, for all pairs, for all events, which sounds very intensive as a task for the system, but in practice it doesn't need to be so intensive. It's just one pass of the trace every time. Okay. And then you build this kind of network of correlations. And then after this network is done, basically the declarative model is already there. Just we need to run certain queries on this knowledge base, and then poof, the declarative rules come out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main idea. So for instance, if we see that in the event log, every time we have A, B never occurs afterwards, we already have a first constraint, like it's called not succession AB in this case. Forgot to mention, why declare? So there are different languages that can be used for declarative process specification. One is, for instance, this DCR graphs, another one is declare. There's also another one which just won like in 2018 Best Paper Award, which was used for constructions. So there are different, very many. And in this case, we use declare just because it's probably the most well established, but it's not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
However, declare, DCR graphs, and more, they establish certain templates. So technically, one could write the rules we like the most, but it would be hard to ask to any analyst to type down all the possible templates of behavior we want to seek for. So we have certain templates, and then we look for the instances of these templates in the log.
Okay. How does it compare to techniques in data mining? Because like in my mind now comes, for example, this mining of shopping patterns.
Yes. Yeah. And
so how does it compare? Like, is it give some? Because as I understood that to mine patterns in shopping, like if you buy beer, then you buy diapers. These very like very canonic examples.
Yes.
But there is no perspective of time, I guess. So that's.
You got it. Yes. Yes, there is a field which is, okay, this is association rule mining, what you just said, like beer implies diapers. There is association rule mining, which is also called temporal association rule mining. However, this last kind of association rule mining doesn't look for temporal logics rules, but looks for rules and how long do they stand true in the data collection. Like, for instance, it was true that beer and diapers went along well together in 2011, 12, and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another rule coming up saying if you buy beers, you buy cigarettes in 2015, 16, and 17. You see that there is a difference. Like, there the time is the time in which, the absolute time in which the rule holds true, whereas we look into rules that speak of the sequence of actions.
Yeah. So I guess in process mining, we're looking inside of the sequences that are basically, it's another timeline. Every sequence is creating a new timeline. While as in diapers example of yours, is we're looking in the absolute time and finding the difference in, right?
True, yeah. Let's make another example which has nothing to do with processes, okay? So if we have a film, it's a sequence of frames, sequence of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So we can analyze how many pictures portray a person with a red shirt. In process mining, instead, we don't do this kind of analysis, or at least that's not the main aim, but rather trying to see what's the behavior of the characters in this sequence of frames, how they change their behavior. And the behavior is not static, right? It has some dynamics inside. So we don't care if the glass is half full or half empty, we just look, is it getting filled up?
Okay.
Or is the water being pulled away?
Okay, would you compare some of your methods to NLP? Because they're the sequences of words and sentences and paragraphs. Because, and also there, these templates might be some rules of the grammar rules, for example.
Mm-hmm. So, very much. In text mining, at least for as far as I know, there is a strong emphasis on the role that the parts of phrase play or words play in the total sentence. So we want to extract, for instance, from a text, where is the name of the buyee, what is the name of the product, just out of free text. This is very similar. Right. There is also now a new branch, which instead looking at the storytelling, so how the story develops in texts. That's getting very close, yes. But you see, we can give them different names, but in the end, it depends on the perspective.
Yeah, it depends. I guess also in process mining, the data is more structured, while in text, it's more problems with concerned about actually recognizing stuff to structure the text. Okay, so let's go back to process mining and talk about actually how do you compare how this algorithm to discover the process, as you say, not model, but process specification and the regular process discovery. How are they different?
So the difference is a bit sneaky in the sense that let's imagine we have a very structured process and we run a typical procedural process mining algorithm. I don't know, like the visual miner or inductive visual miner, sorry, or the alpha algorithm, alpha sharp algorithm. So if we have a very structured process model, we have few variations and then the model is clean, neat. Conversely, the cleaner is the procedural model, the more the rules always hold true in terms of sequence, right? So you always have the same sequences, you always have the same decision points. So the number of rules explodes, it becomes a mess.
Oh, really? Okay.
Whereas, let's imagine that we have no clear structure of the model, well, at least very few pieces and bits here and there.
Yeah, so then all the rules are not true because kind of, okay, you can actually do also like this. And then like, okay, now my rule doesn't hold.
Exactly. So only few rules hold true. Whereas, so then the declarative specification becomes neat, only few rules, versus imagine another procedural model with all the possible pathways that you can derive from. It becomes a mess. So that's basically the strange counterbalancing. That's why I said, I don't think they are competitive to one another, they're just one close to the other.
I could relate a notion of knowledge-intensive processes, something like this, that are not so structured and might declare might be a better fit, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's usually the claim. Declare even was born thanks to work held at the TU Eindhoven. And the claim was exactly that the declarative specifications were best for flexible processes. One of these kind of flexible ones are the knowledge-intensive ones, in which you don't have like a production chain, or the most of the work is held due to the strategies or the expertise of those who work and don't produce any physical product, but knowledge products. Therefore, it's very flexible, adapting, case-based, so yeah.
What are the main questions that can be directly answered with declare? Like, what are the analyst questions that can be answered? If you mine the declare specifications, what is the what's the interesting thing stuff you can look for?
An analyst might be interested with declarative process mining in finding those patterns of stability in the big ocean of different possible behaviors that we might have. So in a high level of flexibility, we look at these particular rules that hold true. Also, another good point about declarative specifications is that they don't look at the immediately afterwards. So we can also take into account long re-entrances.
Okay, so basically if you look at the process models or this like battery nets, direct follow graphs or all this stuff, they show sequence, direct sequence of activities, but declare shows more information, that is like if one activity then the other could happen later, and it basically can find the rules that are not even like you cannot see it from models, right?
True, precisely, yes. It's based on this that's exactly the difference between having a global view, right? So looking at the entire execution and saying like at the beginning you have this activity A, then I don't know how many steps afterwards, but B would be executed. Maybe it occurs in many branches of the patch net. So maybe it's not immediately visible, but it's there. So we declare what we declare in any other declarative language, we are looking into this particular kind of long-term relations. Of course, well, looking into this kind of long distance relationships. Both are meanings, that's not what I meant. Like, in time, we're looking at things that don't happen right after one another, but even like at a long distance in time. Whereas with the local perspective, the one of patterns, we're looking exactly what's the next allowed activity.
Mm-hmm. So in this case, as the process discovery is about also about uncovering the truth, basically, from the data. So in this case, you can, for example, find correlations between something happening in one part of the process and totally in the other part of the process. So for example, someone that started to do mistake in the beginning, like sending the wrong invoice, and then the whole thing at the end is turn out bad. But in the just in the process models, you cannot see it because it's just one activity, the next activity.
Right? You have to analyze properly. Yeah, the process model to check that out. True.
And do you have any examples of how the declare is being used in practice, or maybe some of the vendors of process mining using it, or someone, some company, actually, yeah.
So what I know is that in Abramore currently there is already a plugin using declarative rules to discover when a process model is changing. Like the rule stating that right after A you had B doesn't hold true anymore. So which means that in the even in the PPMN model something has to change. What I find particularly interesting though is that because the you know, when you have a process model in front of you, you have this locality principle, so you can really follow with your finger where is the token now. With the declarative specification, you cannot really do that. But it's very hard for any human mind to recall many rules at once and play your game.
That's like why, 7 or something.
Yeah, they say 7, right?
Or some, yeah.
That's why actually also like playing chess is not very easy at first. You need to practice a bit. Same thing for declare. So perhaps this is why it's not very used directly as a process language on its own. Sure, of course, there are our colleagues in Denmark, like Thijs Slats, Søren de Bois, they could say, no, actually, we're using DCI graphs intensely with industries. Great, they're doing a great job indeed, totally. So yeah, these DCI graphs, then it's used, well, pretty widespread in Denmark, especially for healthcare and for financial domains. What I see in academia is that the declarative is becoming more and more a sort of intermediate language through which we achieve other objectives. For instance, there has been some work done in which they we have been finding what were the events that could possibly relate to an activity. Imagine that you have an activity which is called like ship invoice, but the events have a finer granularity and different names. Right? Mm-hmm. So we have to reconcile the N events with one activity.
So it's an event correlation.
Probably. Yes, activity event correlation, exactly. Well, let's say activity mapping or activity matching is more the name, but yes. So we use the declarative rules to let a constraint satisfaction, a CSP, to let a CSP understand, uncover what could be the events that relate to that activity. So again, nobody saw declare. It was just in the backend working to find the correlations. Or another paper which I suppose you might know has been using declare as the backbone for detecting process drifts. Although we don't say what are the declare rules we discover, we just see interesting visual diagrams that denote a variation in behavior. So as I said, it looks more like a sort of back-end mechanism.
Mm-hmm. So basically, if you know how to how it works, you can use it as a part of other algorithms to...
Yes.
Okay.
There is also another, a last thing, which I would say, for which declare might turn out to be useful, is that we're considering that declare... Well, this is a bit more technical, okay? So bear with me.
We like technical stuff.
Oh, great, great. Inherently, declare expresses rules in a particular logic. They call it linear temporal logic or French phrases, but never mind. This particular logic, however, is as expressive as a version of first order logic. Now, first order logic, when you think of this, let's imagine plain SQL. Good, we achieve that. So basically what we're working now is to turn these temporal rules into queries, SQL queries, or
like you're talking about turning the temporal rules, like how to query by temporal rules,
or? Yes, precisely. Okay. Through other languages, so for instance, SQL or Sparkle. We're working on that. So it's very interesting because then again, the declare would not be used as a direct interface maybe for the analyst, but it could be used in the backend to have some templates of things that are very, believe me, very long and tedious to write, to type down as queries on their own. So we'll see.
So you mean about developing the basically filtering of log?
Filtering of logs or even discovery of rules out of logs, which are non-standard, non-trivial, right?
But why do you think the declare is not being widely used as it could be? Like because we have like again, I checked again the Wikipedia page, and there are 40 or something already vendors of process mining, and they usually just all rely on process model
or
some process representation that is
imperative. That's perfectly fine. I mean, using declarative as a front end may not be the smartest idea, at least not for the moment, but I'm fairly sure that in the long term, although we don't see it named like declare, the derivatives could be a way to express certain rules to specify how the process model would look like in the end. Not for its entireness, but at least for this kind of invariant rules, a whole tree. Likewise, I'm not really aware of many process mining vendors that return models which are depicted as workflow nets or pattern nets directly, right? We see most of them as dependency graphs or derivatives, sometimes BPMN models.
Yeah, I guess because also even pattern net is not so easy to understand.
You got it. So that's fine. As said, it depends on the level of abstraction. Like academics like a lot to have certain general, abstract, formally sound specifications, which however could be a little less appealing to the final users. But that's part of the game.
Okay, so you would assume that the main limitation of declare is that it's not very nice to look at. I mean, not very nicely visually representable.
Right, yes. Representing rules visually is far from being easy. That's true. Like, there is one declarative language which we all went through in the past, which is the ER specification of databases. And that's declarative. We say every time there is a tuple in this relation, there must be another tuple in that relation having a foreign key to this guy. Right? Or anyway, being linked to this guy. That's a declarative specification, isn't it? Look, on top of this, declarative process specifications also have time. So finding a successful notation as successful as ER, which is however only on snapshots of a database, maybe not so trivial. So let's see. The challenge is open.
And we'll also talk about that you say that declare and regular process models should be somewhat work together. Do you know any of successful implementations of hybrid approaches?
Yes, there are several. So, well, one just is when we have certain regulations, norms, right? A regulation and a norm specify how the production processes should behave. Not saying exactly what every industry has to do, but what are the laws that they have to follow. And then every industry has their processes. And guess what? If the law changes, they have to check if their processes comply with the new rules. This is declarative and procedural specifications working together.
So basically, like inside of the company, for the processes, it's just imperative, the regular BPMN model or something.
Perhaps, yeah.
And on top of that, there's always check-in by declare.
That's an idea. Yeah, sure, of course, maybe not standard declare, but it's still... I'm not talking about declare, but declarative specifications.
Yeah, some rules.
Yes.
Logic-based.
And another one, which might sound a bit surprising, is BPMN. If we stop thinking of BPMN only in terms of gateways, like simple gateways and activities, but let's consider, I don't know, for instance, a boundary event of a sub-process. That's actually injecting a declarative rule in the execution. Like if you're in this area of the process and you receive a request for cancellation, then you have to compensate all the things you've done by doing this and that.
Yeah, the BPMN diagrams are very... there are a lot of stuff, I would say.
Yes.
Like this, I like the interrupting event, for example. It's also kind of it's already implying the rules there.
True, yes. The junction between the normal flow and the, unexpected or exceptional or you name it, flow, this is a declarative link, a jump. Again, see, there is no direct instruction pointer telling you, okay, this is the current instruction point. The next one is this one. It can just disrupt at a certain stage because a certain rule is triggered by an event that comes in.
And if you were to be asked, what would you recommend for the guys who just study process mining or even developing new tools for process mining, what would you recommend and what would you wish to be done in this area more?
You mean for declarative process mining or in general?
Yes, for declarative process mining.
One thing that I would wish a lot is something that has not been done yet that intensively, but I think it might happen soon. So having some nice visual tools to achieve that. So I know for sure there are some guys who are already working on that. for instance, in Tartu, Ciao Fabrizio. But also here, we're trying to do this, something close by, but I think to have a good success in terms of establishing this only for not only for theoretical computer scientists, but also for the wider crowd. Working more on the notation, working more on the visual analytics, working more on the visual language to express these diagrams might be key.
And what about the software vendors? Do you think they're missing something?
I think still process mining vendors are doing a great job to make commercial what is already established. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're still missing too much at this moment, but I think, guess what? If they started considering the opportunity to have certain models which are not an expression of this period in time, but how they're changing all the time, and how they're changing is expressed by these rules, that would be a big kick.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I hope the number will also mean quality, the number of tools.
Sure.
And more advice is what, like if someone wants to enter the field or enter just understand more about these developments, what would you recommend them to check out? Maybe some resources or books or videos. What would you recommend?
So there are all these resources online. Just perhaps they should be emphasized a bit more, but they are there. So first, I would suggest to do something that not too many people have done this far. So to read the PhD thesis of Maya Pešić. She has been working exactly on the degraded specifications, although she was not looking too much at the process mining side, but rather at the specification itself. So I think it's a very, very good book. And it's not written like only for theorists, but for a broader audience. I have the privilege to have one of the printed copies here with me.
Wow.
Thanks to, thanks to Bob.
By the way, I will link all the your recommendations in the show notes.
And there is also another PhD thesis I would recommend, again, from Johannes de Smet. And this one is about the interplay between declarative and procedural languages. But okay, the first, I would say, the very first must-have is that one. Then, we have also slides online that explain in a very introductory way how the CLEP works. They're thought for students who are already kind of knowledgeable about process modeling in general.
Okay.
So,
could you share them?
Sure.
Okay, I will link them.
Great, thank you. And I think also there is a very nice... this is self-promotion, but also on the Mindful GitHub page, there is a to-do list, a how-to in the wiki, and one can see, but more or less, given this input, this is the output you have. But I think more and more material would come up.
Is there something we didn't address? Or you maybe want to talk about something?
There is the, an idea that they had to draw like the universe of possible processes. And we have a universe of possible processes. Imagine this universe of possible processes like a big box.
Okay.
Big,
I imagine
box.
A big box.
All right.
And of all possible processes in the world, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, at least even in an organization, you don't want to go for an entire world. Like, I don't know, at the company you think of. So if these are all the possible processes that can exist there, you want now to pick one particular guy. Now, if you go procedural, the simplest procedural process is something that begins, does one thing, and ends.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Then we can make it longer, bigger, have more alternatives, like you can do two activities in parallel.
Okay.
So it grows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the more you have the visual, the more you have visual aids or arcs, say, in this model, the more your blob inside this box is growing. You're capturing more and more process behavior.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite. The simplest declarative process you can think of is saying, I have no rules. So you capture the entire box.
Yes. Okay.
Every time you add a new rule, you have a little less of this box, right? So you proceed the other way around. Instead of like growing the blob gets shrunk down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with this metaphor, we can see that the two paradigms are compensating one another. They're dual in a way. They proceed in opposite directions. So, and in the end, they match. So.
Can you also describe with process models the opposite of process models?
In a way,
you can start and describe what you cannot do.
Sure,
example.
Yeah, the... sure, then one can describe all the cases in which things are done that are not correctly enacted, sure. But yeah, the underlying assumption usually is it's easier to say what to do than saying you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't that. But again, it depends on the context. If we look at codex, like codex books, like laws books,
mm-hmm.
they don't tell you what you can do.
But those are usually rules, I would say.
Exactly, they give rules. So you see, it's always the dual perspective. One thing that I was considering now, but thank you for reminding me that, why focusing necessarily on visual notations? I mean, when we write laws, we write them
mm-hmm.
in natural language. Perhaps the representation paradigm may be a mix, not necessarily only visual, but some text descriptions that describe these rules just in a human way.
Well, I guess because everyone's looking for something simple.
Right, yeah.
But it's interesting, if you think about the process model,
mm-hmm.
it might be also seen as a set of rules, but they're just very constrained, set of very small set of rules that is visually displayable.
Yes, absolutely. Well, this is nice. So we can represent, actually, the entire behavior of a sound patternet as a reachability graph. And the reachability graph states, if this is the current marking, then the only possible markings you can have after firing is this, this, and that. But it doesn't tell you how you came to that marking. It just says, if this is the marking, the next ones are this.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, we can think of having a set of rules that for every marking dictates exactly what's the next move that you can do. Sure, it's a bit restrictive, but it's a way of expressing it, so no problem.
So maybe you can also say that declare is just looking, as they say, out of the box, in a way, not of your box, but in a sense that if you look at the model, and then you just, okay, just let's forget about the model, let's forget that we want visual, let's just try to actually capture all the behavior.
Yeah.
Because the model is like very restrictive
yeah.
in representational qualities.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the good thing is that the model, given the position which you are currently, with the procedure of one, you can forget about more or less what happened or what are the rules that you have to keep in mind. You have just a finite number of choices in front of you. Whereas with the declarative classifications, there is more a sort of a bird's eye view.
Mm-hmm.
So taking the whole thing into account at the same time, which, as I said, is not easy. Even like mentally, it's hard to deal with.
I really like it. Because especially now, it's more understandable why exactly these representations should be or are becoming more as a like a backend, because
mm-hmm.
they're actually more powerful, but they okay, they're not visually representative, but they are describing more behavior. So
they're very powerful because they can capture complex behavior
mm-hmm.
in a pseudo simple way, simple meaning by few rules, but it doesn't mean that it's simple for the human abilities to perceive. So I think I'm saying nothing new if we consider, for instance, that the declarative rules could be used to even restrict the search space of algorithms looking for the strategy.
One more question. What about, see, we start with regular models, with BattleNet, then we go declare. What about the neural networks? What's your take on that? Like maybe that's the next step, because
yes.
basically neural networks also implicitly learn rules. I would say.
Yeah, I think, you got exactly the next step of the discourse. Sure. So when, not only neural networks, I think, but in general, so every time we can apply machine learning algorithms and we want to control the search space in which they can develop, like in neural networks, I think we could consider these rules, like temporal rules, as a means, perhaps, to force certain connections or disallow certain connections between perceptrons.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'm not saying it's easy. It would be nice to investigate, but that's probably a way to, you know, avoid that certain odd correlations come up, which are learned from data. So they could be used again to restrict the search space. Because exactly this is what they do. We have the box of possible things you can learn from your data.
Mm-hmm.
You add rules that force the system not to look into exotic correlations, but rather looking into things that are allowed. This would be a nice way to control the learning phase.
And is declare used also for some more application in process mining? For example, predicting the next event or the end of the process?
I must admit my ignorance in that regard. Not that I know.
Okay.
Not that I know. Would be very cool to see how it works, especially because, you know, declare wouldn't look at the next activity, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
but like having a sort of, alarm, a reminder. You're at this stage, but before finishing, you have to still do this activity because there's a rule waiting for it to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, that's very interesting. Interesting if someone would explore and we can see the results.
Yes. That would be nice.
Yeah. Well, that was a very nice talk. Thank you very much, Claudio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Yep.
Wow.
In case you have questions, comments or requests, forward them to our email address at asideofdata@protonmail.com. Also, follow us on Twitter @asideofdata. Thank you for listening.